caro amico ti scrivo, così mi distraggo un po'. E siccome sei molto lontano, più forte ti scriverò. Da quando sei partito c'è una grossa novità.
And it is 9 a.m. in the West Coast, it is 12 noon in the East Coast, and it's 7 p.m. in Jerusalem. Today is July 8, 2015, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to talk about all what's happening in Europe, and we're going to have it as the Italian night. This is the one thing that we're going to have every Wednesday from now on, God willing. And we're going to focus on Europe and what is going around that, confusion with Greece and what's happening behind the scene, or, what the talk is about in Europe. Sometimes it's going to be from in a different language, but I'll try to collect all the information that I have in English so you can understand. But I must emphasize that translation always is different. Even that you speak the same language, if you don't understand the culture, you might use talk or understand differently. So we need all the really, really gloves to be put back on. The Fist of Iron needs to go back to the movies, and we need to start diplomacy like it should be. And there is nobody else better than the Italian to give you a touch of class, a touch of understanding, and how things are being conducted. The nice Italian, of course. And they can show you how rough it can be, sure. So we really want, listen, world, we need to have some good faith. And I started with Lucio Dalla, Caro Amico Ti Scrivo. You know, it's a letter that I write to my friend from distance. It's because I miss you so much, I write to you harder. That's what it says. It's like, even that you're distant, you're in my heart. So all my friends all over, you're in my heart, especially in the places where I love so much, and they know it. So God bless you all. I'm so happy that you're all here. And let's start with the show.
Well, I think there is a responsibility on everybody. This is a human tragedy in many ways, from the time when these people come from Africa, across Africa, when they come to the Mediterranean, when they get on board unstable boats, when they risk their lives passing through the Mediterranean and landing on the shores of Italy or Malta, the countries that are nearest to them when they arrive, and then moving up through Europe. I think there is a responsibility here for all of us. But I have to say to you that the responsibility ought to be initially with the countries where they first arrive. That is the international law. That is how these matters should be dealt with. And if resources are required to help the frontline states in this situation, then those resources can be found. Indeed, there is money available through the European Commission, but the countries concerned have to ask for that money. And the problem with France is that by the time people go from Italy, they move into France, still without being properly dealt with, still being left without any consideration as to what categories of immigration they fall into, whether they are asylum seekers, whether they are economic migrants, whether they are people who are victims of crime. Many of them, you know, by the time they get up through France and nothing's been done,
but sir,
you know, the tragedy's really got worse.
I get that, but Italy, for instance, which is on the front lines, is saying that it is shouldering a disproportionate burden here, just because geographically it happens to be where most of these desperate migrants come, and it's not getting the help from European authorities. I had an opportunity to speak with the deputy mayor of Calais here. I'm going to run a little bit of that sound for you to listen to, because he says he says the UK should be doing more. I'll have you react after. Listen.
Most of the time when we talk to migrants, they all say the same. They want to go to England. And our British friends are now becoming more than hypocritical, because they say it is your responsibility, where they know that migrants being there wants to go to England.
Well, so basically he's saying the magnet is Britain. Why isn't Britain helping more?
Britain is helping. Britain is putting substantial resources in to help the French with the situation. I think we've done an awful lot. And of course, separately to this particular situation, we have been taking many refugees. Applications for refugee status, as far as Britain is concerned, have been very high. And this is not just something that is happening in this particular location. There are many other locations on the fringes of Europe, on the borders of Europe, where there are considerable migrancy issues. Other countries further east, for instance, have this problem of people coming from other places. And I think that really this is a major issue. Yeah. Migrancy and the pressures on us all over the next few years are going to get worse, not better. And I think we have therefore got to make sure that we deal with these people in a proper, ordered and disciplined way.
All right. I think we are back, and this is BBS Radio with the Impossible Truth. This is our Italian night flavor, but it's focused on Europe, of course, and we're trying to understand what's going on in Europe. We had the crisis in Greece not long ago, but while Greece is happening on the grounds, we have a situation a few years of devastation of immigrants going on boats and traveling to Italy. And it's not true that they all go to up, you know, and north, because France really sealed the border pretty good. And to get to England, it's much farther. So we have a situation where Italy had to hold all the burden on our shoulder, keeping them. Now, you know what? I have a problem with the situation that somebody tell me, you know, by the international law, the country that they arrive first to needs to handle them. Well, I thought the European Union is one thing. You know, there is no country. There is one passport, one monetary, you know, currency. Of course, they kept the language. But does it mean that they don't have responsibility? It's like when you owe to them, they take your money, like in Greece. But when they need to protect you, they don't take responsibility. This is like having a deal with somebody that I don't want to mention. Trust me. All those deals with the European Union are bogus because they are not working. They, for some reason, people are, you know, clinging to them. And last time on Monday, I mentioned, I had a soundbite that stated that, you know, the European Union changed the rules after they put the currency in. It means that the rules were changed after they signed already the agreement. So they change and shrink and talk, you know, talk on anything else that they owe, you know, to talk about. But the deal, to deal with the problem, they leave the people alone. The crisis alone, you know, they're talking about Greece. And I mentioned to you, you know, they drop the bomb of the Olympic on them. After that, you know, they run with, you know, with the goods, what they care. And then nobody elevate the economy. You need to help a country. If you want to have a machine, a big machine, it's not like you go and take a consumption out of them so your production of milk is going to be okay. No, you need to make sure that the countries are, you know, at least you have a system for a few years, or you can have what's it called, you know, difficult status country. You know, no, all the countries are the same. So I know Italy is holding up like a tough people that they are, and it's all about the mothers, they say. The Italian mother is the one who saves so much that and cares so much that keeps the children in the house, even that they are adults, over the age of, you know, taking off. And sometimes they bring the girlfriend or the wife and they stay together. And we have to salute them because as I grew up in America, I learned to know that when you are 18, you are out of the door. So now in Italy, they absorb it. You know, you bite their, you know, the lip and they go on. Tough cookies, and God bless them for that. But right now we have refugees on the ground there, and the European Union is doing silt. And as we say, and as everybody says, somebody has to take global or local responsibility. I know England is doing, but it's not enough. If the EU is in charge, if Germany is in charge, by all means, don't fill application. Get, you know, give some visas or transportation, like the Israeli did for so many years. Let's not talk about that. All right, guys, let's have some more Italian music, and then we're going to have another side bite so we can chew about something else. Hola.
Buongiorno Italia, gli spaghetti al dente, e un partigiano come presidente, con l'autoradio sempre nella mano destra, un canarino sopra la finestra. Italia con i tuoi artisti, con troppa America sui manifesti, con le canzoni, con amore, con il cuore, con più donne sempre meno suore.
All right, and we're back because we have so much to talk about, and we got one thing that we want to let you listen to: Intervista with Matteo Renzi, Prime Minister of Italy, on CNN with Christiana Amanpour. Thank her for that.
Matteo Renzi stormed onto Italy's political scene with a passion, energy, and a roll-up-your-sleeves can-do attitude, all of which are in dire need because the 39-year-old Italian Prime Minister has faced an enormous task to drag his nation out of an economic slowdown that's been likened to the Great Depression. But progress isn't happening as quickly as Renzi or the European Union would like. Italy has slid back into its third recession in 6 years. Unemployment is over 12%. Youth unemployment is at a staggering 44%, and that is causing a massive brain drain. Even with the ailing economy, Italy is still a destination for thousands of African migrants desperate for a better life. It is 1 year to the day that nearly 400 migrants drowned when their boat sank off Lampedusa. I asked Renzi about this matter of life and death, as well as the ongoing chaos in Libya just across the Mediterranean. Despite all of this, he was brimming with optimism and confidence when we met at the Italian embassy here in London just after his meeting with the British Prime Minister David Cameron. Prime Minister Renzi, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You have an incredibly tough job. It seems that Italy changes its prime ministers too often. Are you daunted? How do you see your job ahead?
The problem of Italy is we change a few times, we change a lot of times the prime minister, but we don't change our country. And our country is an incredible country, very beautiful, with an incredible past, an incredible present, but we need the future. And now, for the first time after 58 years, the consensus in Italy is more than 40%, so this is the time in which finally we can change.
When it comes to youth unemployment, it's a massive 44%, and there are hundreds of thousands of young Italians who have decided to make their way in the world outside of Italy.
Yes.
Brain drain.
I don't know if this is a problem.
Let me
be very frank. Let me be very frank. Obviously, it's a big problem, unemployment. This is clear. And in the last year, we have more than 80,000 new jobs. But I'm confident because I think if finally we solve the problem of bureaucracy, justice, lack of courage in labor market, if finally we solve this problem, unemployment naturally decreased in the next years. Why I said it's not a problem if a part of Italian people left Italy? Because I think around the world there are a lot of Italians, very able, very intelligent, very smart, who change the world. I don't ask them, come back to my country. I ask, give me an hand to bring Italy in the future. It's not important if you stay in Silicon Valley. If it, for me, it's absolutely important if you help my country to come back to be Italy.
You've worked on this labor situation, labor laws, for about a year now, or at least since you were prime minister. Have you achieved anything in trying to make them more flexible?
Absolutely, yes. We must give the possibility of entrepreneur to have freedom in the hire and fire, but in the same time, create a welfare state to give an opportunity for everybody.
Some might say that's a little bit of a conflicting goal, but can I ask you, because we've already seen, as we're speaking, mass demonstrations in Naples outside the ECB meeting. People are angry about inequality, injustice, high unemployment. You have also said that you agree with the French president who says he will not stick to the EU-mandated 3% deficit to GDP law.
There is a problem for my position, because I'm absolutely convinced that the 3% is a parameter of the past. But I have the problem. Italy is a country in which we lost credibility because we don't respect parameters in the past. So the position of Italy is clear. We respect 3%. Obviously, if French president decide for France, important avoid the respect of 2%, nobody could answer to Mr. Hollande or Mr. Valls, ah, this is not correct, and believe Europe has a school in which there are a teacher and young students. Europe is a community of destiny, is a community of values.
You're here, you'll be meeting Prime Minister Cameron. He said that for him, Scotland staying in the UK was 1,000 times more important than the UK staying in the EU. Do you think it's important for UK to stay within the EU? And will you agree as the Italian Prime Minister to the kind of reforms that he says he needs in order to hold a referendum and win?
Now, obviously, I agree. We must absolutely change Europe because it's correct, because it's right, before the referendum of 2017 in the UK. And not only because there is a referendum, but because it's absolutely correct. The problem is the direction. I believe important reduce the power of bureaucracy in Europe. I believe absolutely important reduce the level of technocrats' power in Brussels. For me, Europe is not simply a community of money. It's a community of soul, a community of future. For this reason, I think our referendum is very important. For me, it's important UK stay inside the European Union, but it's absolutely important the European Union stay in the heart of the citizens. This is a moment very dangerous. We must change Europe.
Europe, to an extent, is being changed. All these upheavals that are going on in the world, Italy has been the focus of a lot of heartbreak and heartache around Lampedusa. All these migrants coming from North Africa, many dying. 2,500 have died trying to get there over the last year or so. Is there not a more humane way for the Italian government to deal with these people?
Italian government decided a very important initiative called Operazione Mare Nostrum. And this operation saved, in the last year, more than 80,000 people. When I spoke with the General Assembly of the United Nations, I start with this statement. I'm here with 60 million of Italians and with 80,000 people who saved the life in Mediterranean, because we think we must absolutely avoid the Mediterranean will become a cemetery. Is a sea, not a cemetery. Also because 70% of these people who come from Africa to Italy come from Libya. And Libya is a place in which, after the strikes of the past, nobody solved the problem of democracy and of integrity and of coalition in the country. Italy now is the only country with the embassy open. This is the reason for which I underline and I stress the importance for the organization of the United Nations to stay in Libya with the cooperation with Egypt, Tunisia, other countries surrounded Libya, and build spaces for refugees to avoid the risk of death in the sea.
So you describe the situation that causes all these people to come desperate for economic and other help to Europe. One of the places that we're seeing right now, obviously, is Syria, Turkey, Iraq, all of that. You were, as you said, in Erbil and Baghdad. Do you support the war against ISIS?
Absolutely, yes. We stay in the international coalition. For the moment, we don't participate to the air strikes, but we participate to support logistics. We are available to work with the coalition in every field. We are absolutely available to work with other countries in Libya. And obviously, if there is the necessity, we are ready also in Iraqi and in the international coalition against ISIS. Also because when you see in your TV, in your mobile, the pictures of children killed, not children killed, sorry, children executed, this is not simply a terrible moment. This is the negation of values of a human being. So I'm absolutely on the side of President Obama and the international coalition.
About a year ago, I interviewed your predecessor, Prime Minister Letta, in this very room, and I asked him what gives him nightmares, what keeps him up at night. And he told me youth unemployment. So what keeps you up at night in your new role as Prime Minister?
The lack of confidence, because everything is possible for Italy. I know a lot of people in Italy believe I am too ambitious, but I am absolutely confident Italy could be in the next 10 years the leader of Europe. Despite the difficulties of this moment, I am absolutely convinced because I see the eyes of entrepreneurs. We invest in the future despite the problem of bureaucracy, of civil justice, of labor market. I see that the eyes of young women in Italy. I am the first president with a half presence in my cabinet of women. I see there is in my country the possibility to create a future. But after 20 years of polemics, discussions, ideological crisis, we lost a lot of opportunities. Now I think for a politician, it's absolutely important, this message. We can lose the elections, but we cannot lose this opportunity.
On that note, Prime Minister Renzi, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you so much.
All right, we're back live. All right, and we are back. That was incredible, incredible interview of CNN with Christina Amanpour, the champion, of course, with Mr. Renzi, the Prime Minister of Italy. And you know what? I understand how accent can camouflage the message and how his message in English it sounds a little different. And I want to repeat some of the things that he said. First of all, he says that the fire in the eyes of the women in his cabinet are incredible. So he believes that Italy can be the leader of Europe in the future because he is an ambitious man. And you know what? I believe him because I've been to Italy. I grew up in Italy. You can turn life around if you want to work together. If you work together, you can make it. And they can do it because they have so much power in their hands. They can manufacture, they can deliver, they can build, they can decorate, they can sell, they can cook, they can do anything. So those Italian people, when they said believe them, because trust that they can do, the only position they have to take is much more tougher on the rule and regulation and what they're going to do with the immigrants, because the immigrants are actually take away so much power of them, and they need, as Mr. Renzi said, they save 80,000 people in sea, and the Mediterranean is not supposed to be a cemetery, as he said. It's supposed to be a sea, because people who go from Libya and go and without, you know, nobody saving them, they're going to die. So they decided to save. So just imagine, you know, a country take time to save people. They go across the ocean and pull them out just to make sure they are alive. This is a great value to study and to honor. And I want to say, Italy has the only embassy open in Libya. Where are all the rest? And if we talk about the Libyan, because most of the people that come to the shore of Europe are from Libya. So why we're not doing something in Libya to stop that? You know, it's a connected thing. What about the Libyan situation that never been resolved? And we know that there are talks about, you know, with the United Nations in Morocco. I know that it's not a published site anywhere, but I know that it exists. There are no Americans there for some reason, which is really sad, because if something I can trust, America will start doing and getting stuff going. It's really nice to go in Morocco, you know, and make a cahoots with some agreement, and they don't, and you divide the, you know, the resources, natural resources, between you and European. Oh, you guys are so sweet. I love politics, you know, because in politics it's so transparent. This is a corruption. Try not to steal Libyan resources now before you fix the stuff on the ground. And yes, there is a coalition to against ISIS, and yes, they're going to be defeated, and yes, Libya is going to have it for its own people. So it's about time we start getting, you know, our line, you know, our lines of priority straight, okay? Greece and our thing, you know, just cancel some of the debt that you anyhow owe her from the Second World War. So, you know, let's not talk about it. I got another segment that I want to finish to capture the situation about the immigrants. So please, let's listen again to the Italian PM.
Left languishing on rocks overlooking the Italian coast, these African migrants are stuck in the town of Ventimiglia after being turned back at the French border. As Italy faces a migrant crisis, a toughening of crossing controls by its neighbours is pitting Rome against Europe. Either this is a European problem and we solve it together, he says, or if it's just Italy's problem, because Europe closes its eyes, then we're in a position to face it, but I say so with disappointment. French police have been blocking entry points along Italy's border, including at Ventimiglia, close to the French Riviera, and it says it will continue to do so. Swiss police have also been turning back migrants, attempting to make it out of Italy by train. The crisis is set to top the agenda when Renzi meets French President François Hollande and British Prime Minister David Cameron during a visit this week.
All right, and we are back. As you know, we have a very young prime minister in Italy, a guy that is go-get-them, a guy that has no question, but his value is incredible. The set of, you know, of attitude that he has is such a loving, caring human being that we want to support him, and we bless him with much success, because if he gets a control over the situation, you will start moving the machine, and some engine needs to start moving there. And I trust Italy to do so, because everybody is holding their ground from the other side of the game. Now, it's already half of our show is gone, and I want you to smile a little because I know it's serious, and I know there is some, you know, there is nothing like the English humor that that I love the most. I love English humor. You know, forgive me, American friends. English humor, comedy, stand-up comedies are incredible. And even when they interview, sometimes they're so sweet. So there is one segment to how to run a country. Let's have it.
Thanks for your time.
Very good to be with you. Good evening.
Which bank are you with again?
That's correct, Brian. I've been with them for quite a while. Can answer any of your questions on that score.
Yeah, now you've put rates up again, haven't you?
Well, Brian, we don't have a lot of choice, do we?
Why not?
Well, there are only three things you can do with rates. You can put them up.
You can put them down.
Just a minute, Brian. Hadn't finished. Bear with me. Only three things you can do with rates, Brian. You can put them up, you can leave them where they are.
Or you can put them down.
I'm going to persist with this, Brian, until I get this out. There are three things you can do with rates. You can put them up, you can leave them where they are. Yeah. Or you can delay making a decision until you think that the overall financial atmosphere is more conducive to perhaps easing them in a non-downward direction over time.
That's three options.
It is, but you can eliminate two of them reasonably briskly. You're not going to put them down, are you?
Well, why not?
Brian, are you familiar with the way bank executives are paid, the system of bonuses and options and so on?
No, not really.
No, well, I think perhaps we'll talk about this when you're old enough to understand.
There's also been criticism of the banks this week, though, hasn't there?
No, not that I'm aware of, no.
Well, the government and the opposition have expressed misgivings about monetary policy.
Oh, I see. Criticism from outside the building.
Yes.
Criticism of banks from outside the banking industry. Oh, look, it's entirely possible. It's a jungle out there. I mean, we can't control everything.
But isn't there a debt crisis in this country?
A debt crisis? What's a debt crisis?
Well, right? People owe too much money.
People owe too much. That's very good, Brian.
Don't people owe so much that they can never pay it back?
You don't have to pay it back, Brian.
What are you talking about?
When people borrow money, they need to service the loan. You need to service debt. You don't need to repay it or you haven't got a loan at all.
What are they buying?
Oh, they buy houses and stuff to put in the houses and cars to park outside the front of the houses.
What does any of that produce?
Well, interest. I mean, that's how we make a living, right? We lend them the money, they service that debt, and that's how we make money.
But that's not the best use of the country's capital resources,
is
it?
Well, try telling them that. We don't tell them what to want, Brian. We just lend them the money to do it.
There's also been a good deal of talk about competition amongst the banks.
Well, it's said there isn't enough competition.
You were saying there is competition.
Well, there is competition among the banks, yes. There are quite a lot of us.
Well, there's four big banks.
Four of us. Just excuse me. Hello. Yes, I'm doing it now. I'm just talking to him now. Are you watching? Yeah. No, I'll tell it. Yes, it's just cropped up. I'll tell him. Thank you.
Who's that?
He runs one of the other banks. He agrees, Brian.
What, that there's strong competition?
Yep, they all agree. They're all around at his place. Fierce competition,
he
said. Fierce, cutthroat competition among the banks.
Thanks for your time.
Oh, that's my pleasure, Brian. Now, excuse me. Can someone turn the lights on? I can't find my way out of here.
This is Orly Benny Davis with PBS Radio with the Impossible Truth. It's our Wednesday European with Italian flavor because we love Italy and we love our Italian friends and their music. It's something that we can feel when they sound, and there is, you know, songs that get to you and to your heart and that make the difference in your life. And once you start learning the language, which Italian, something about the Italian, they don't speak other languages very often. It's incredible, but you need to learn the language. If you want to go to Italy, you need to learn Italian, but Italian the Italian way, not Italian from the book. All right, so let's get some Italian music and then we're going to get with some more spots.
Chiudo gli occhi e penso a lei, il profumo dolce della pelle sua, è una voce dentro che mi sta portando dove nasce il sole. Sole sono le parole, ma se vanno scritte tutto può cambiare.
All right. And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with BBS Radio with the Impossible Truth. You know, you guys, we have the Italian music just because we love it so much, but we are focusing on Europe because they're in crisis. And as the global world's going, everything influences everything. And of course, we cannot, you know, not pay attention to what's going on with the EU and what is evolving around Greece. But Italians are a big players in the European Union, and we want to hear their saying. And we have another segment that will explain even better about it.
The migrant crisis has reached boiling point in Italy, with the country's prime minister now sending clear signals to the EU.
If Europe chooses solidarity, good. If it doesn't, we have plan B ready. But it would first and foremost hurt Europe.
In the meantime, migrant tent camps are mushrooming across Italy. The latest has sprung up right in the centre of Rome, just minutes away from the city's famous tourist attractions. Milan's central station has also been overrun by crowds of migrants trying to reach northern Europe. Several hundred also staged protests at the French-Italian border, where they were refused entry. In total, more than 100,000 people from North Africa have crossed the Mediterranean just this year, with more than half of them landing in Italy. And as far back as last month, Italy's former foreign minister told us that his country has been abandoned by its EU neighbours.
Italy cannot accept to be left alone in that situation. The leaders of European member states are thinking about their political national interest instead of European solidarity. And this would be a real damage to the credibility of the European Union. Italy is very proud because Italy has been saving thousands and thousands of human lives by rescuing people in need. This is our moral duty, saving human life. But that said, Italy cannot be left alone.
However, instead of helping with the migrant burden, France, which is the final destination for many of the newcomers, has tightened its border controls. And that example has also been followed by Austria and Switzerland, making Italy almost isolated. The move came after a growing number of illegal migrant camps were set up in the centre of Paris. And the latest attempt to clear one of the camps turned ugly. The officers there are resorting to tear gas and pepper spray to quell the migrants and even the activists who came to support the illegal settlers. Nearly 100 were arrested when police moved in to clear the camp that was home to 500 people from North Africa living there for almost a year. In May, there was an attempt by EU foreign policy chief Federica Mogherini to introduce migrant quotas on countries. However, the plan met strong opposition. The UK refused to participate, and France claimed the move would go against asylum rights. Spain, among others, argued that it just couldn't take any more migrants. However, Alessandro Politi, a global political and strategic analyst, says that the responsibility at the end of the day must be shared.
There is a principle, and, you know, if the state is a state, is that everybody must have its own share of migrants. But of course, a number of governments, just to name, you know, Spain, France, UK and Hungary, for very internal reasons, myopically say no. By the law of sea, when you get somebody on board, well, this person must be sent to your own country because the ship is part of your country's sovereignty. Now, the Brits have started this sort of opt-out, which is absolutely scandalous. Mr. Cameron doesn't look at the law, but looks at his own short-term political convenience. Now, the Italians, just, you know, for a spirit of compromise, have accepted this thing, but it's absolutely unacceptable.
All right. We are back, and this is Orly Benny Davis with BBS Radio and The Impossible Truth. We are actually witnessing everything that is going wrong with the European Union. When they come and, you know, indicate what's wrong with the other countries that they are member, they owe money, it's only on, you know, the cash flow, They forget that they don't behave like a group. They don't behave like a unit. So as the referendum in England in 2017 is going to be about the EU, as the Prime Minister of Italy, Renzi, said, we need to change Europe. It means that they need to change their way or they have to go away because it's not going to be really nice. I tell you, you know, many years ago when it started, I predicted that the euro is going to be 50 cents on the dollar. And after it's gone up and up, and I'm saying, okay, yeah, maybe I didn't see it, but, you know, collapse is something that is going to take it. They're collapsing, and there is no question about it. And especially when they are actually doing everything in their power not to do anything to help the global crisis on ISIS. Now, let's talk about what is the waste here. The waste is we have 100,000 of immigrants that are storming the nations of Italy. They are in the tourist attraction. If you go to the fountain, you know, when you see the beautiful ice cream machines, ice cream people, and, you know, the coffee shop and the trendy neighborhood, you probably might find the immigrants, you know, on the floor there, bathing their feet into the fountain like they tell and cannot stand, you know, please don't do that because it's a no-no for them. And all those hundreds of thousands that came across, you know, because of the crisis, they come for their life. They wanted to be safe. Nothing wrong with that. But why they are there? It's because European didn't take clear, you know, the aggressive mode to clear up Libya. They decided to take away the dictator there of Gaddafi, even that he gave up his nuclear weapon. He gave, something was, you know, agreed upon because they took him out. And sure enough, nobody's paying attention. There is no forces on the ground to help. There are no, you know, power. I know some of my friends, you know, want to help. I know a lot of people are, you know, are thinking nothing is going to be done with the agreement with your, you know, United Nations. If the American and the Russians and, you know, the rest of the world are not helping, only the UK is involved, I guess, in the UK and the European Union, somebody, French and English, I think, in this accord. It's not going to end up fast because I didn't see their forces coming across to help settle. And those immigrants, if you're already in control, those immigrants' flow needs to stop. And you're not, so it means that the talks are failed. And we need to think about another way. Now, it's 10 minutes before we are finishing our rendezvous with love of and harmony and the crisis in the EU, let's listen to more song, and we'll talk, you know, we'll talk about God a little, so maybe we can pray together, all right? All right, and we are back. That was Dario Baldembembo, you know, Tostada. You know, when you go on the freeway, you drive and you think about your loved one, and in the old time, you just had your music, no phone, only the memory, and that's where you bring the good of everything. And those telephones today and those, you know, everything on the moment lose some flavor. of the real thing. And the real thing is, you know, to see what's important when you have your time. You need your time off sometimes. And let's take this time off right now to remember and to remind everybody that there is a God in charge of the universe. This incredible, credible planet was not created by man. It was created by that force of incredible goodness that brought beauty in harmony and music. I can't even imagine, and I can describe how beautiful the world is, because I didn't have the, you know, still the chance to travel to see it my first hand. But I saw, and I've been around a little to tell you that it's extraordinary. And when we see how great is the world, we know how men are, you know, nothing. And we need to, you know, put our head down a little for every moment that we forget that we are not in charge, and to pray to God to let us all overcome this incredible, incredible challenge of the world. And maybe we can turn this page and say no to the war and yes to global understanding and love of mankind, because there's so much to build. There are so many countries that are still, you know how much. Take Italy. Italy is fantastic. They built it. It was... there are monuments, but they built it all around it. They did it so good and so beautiful. So we want them. The Prime Minister of Italy, when he says, you know, I don't care, I don't mind the Italian friend of our, you know, citizen go abroad to seek work. They're actually sending powerful, powerful, knowledgeable people to help us around the world, to teach us how to sew, how to work, how to cut everything, because they knew that. They know from scratch how to do things. You know, it's not automatic, everything. It's not that you put the coin and you get a sandwich. You have to do it from scratch now in many, many countries. And those Italian fellow, they are not kidding. They are serious. So we're going to end up with the national anthem of Italy. And I apologize for Ms. Prime Minister Renzi that I did mispronounce his name. But I respect him much. I respect the Italian people. I respect everything that they created. Even they destroyed the temple the Holy Temple of Israel. But only with a free love of, you know, a gift of love, we can rebuild it. And we give them back the gift of love, so we forgive this, and everything can be turned the page, and let's start over again. So goodbye, and talk to you on Sunday with the Israeli music in the morning. It will be early in the morning in California, 7 a.m. I hope you all join us for some Middle Eastern music. It will be fun. God bless you all. I love you. This is Orly Betty Davis, and... we salute with the national anthem.